Welcome to the first edition of Leonard Legal Buzz, produced by the law firm of Leonard Street & Diner. The electronic age changes how parties litigate. This takes on special significance for businesses in light of new federal court rules for electronic discovery that establish a roadmap governing the exchange of electronic documents between parties in a lawsuit. Today's employees generate not only thousands of electronic files and emails, but also digital photos, digital voice messages, text messages, instant messages, and more. The volume and volatility of electronic documents present new challenges in litigation that did not exist or existed in limited ways in the paper world. They also present opportunities for the well-prepared business. Ignoring the new federal rules, hoping you won't ever have to worry about a lawsuit or electronic discovery, could prove to be extremely costly. For businesses to minimize risk and reduce cost if they find themselves named in a suit, a good document management policy is key. Joining me to discuss electronic discovery issues is Dan Oberdorfer. Dan practices in the areas of employment and labor and securities at Leonard Street & Dinard. Before practicing law, Dan was a prize-winning journalist for the Minneapolis Star Tribune for 12 years, where he covered the courts and legal affairs. He also has been a regular contributor to the National Law Journal and a columnist for Minnesota Lawyer. He frequently speaks on crisis communication issues and has recently been featured in and written articles about the new federal rules regarding electronic discovery. Welcome, Dan. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Matt.
To begin, in the context of litigation, why don't you talk about some of the general challenges companies face in managing electronically stored data?
In today's world, 90 to 95% of the documents that get generated in businesses are generated electronically. In the old days, in the context of a lawsuit, companies would have a file cabinet that might be relevant in the lawsuit. In today's world, those documents are stored on a server. They may be stored on a hard drive. They may be stored on CD-ROMs or flash drives. They may even be stored on legacy systems. And the great volume of data presents challenges, as well as the volatility of the data, the permanence of the data, the fact that all of this electronic data has what's called non-apparent data, which is information on when the document was created, who it was transmitted to, etc. All of these additional attributes present challenges in the new electronic world.
What sort of experiences have companies had in the past with regard to the management of this sort of data?
For the last 10 or 15 years, courts have begun to grapple with how to handle electronic data, and so have companies. There have been a number of cases in which companies have failed in their duty to preserve data and failed in other ways. One of the most famous cases came out of the state of Florida a year or so ago, in which the company failed to preserve data that they were required to preserve, and the judge instructed the jury that they could just assume that all of the electronic emails, etc., that were not produced and were lost would have hurt the company. In that case, there was a $1.5 billion verdict against the company.
So this activity led to changes in the federal rules governing electronic discovery issues, correct?
Yes, that's correct, Matt. This December, the new federal rules went into effect that provide a roadmap for companies dealing with electronic discovery issues in federal litigation. There are a number of areas in which the new federal rules change things. The first and foremost area is that they front-end load electronic discovery questions. That means from the very outset of the lawsuit, a company needs to be prepared to go to the court with a plan for how to deal with electronic discovery.
And are you seeing further changes in the future?
The new federal rules simply provide a roadmap. They don't provide a recipe for how to handle all matters. And so in the future, the courts are going to grapple with some of the ambiguities of the rules, and the courts then are going to start to grapple with new technology. They're going to have to grapple with some technologies that are already here, such as instant messaging. What's a company's duties to preserve instant messages that one employee sends another or an employee sends outside the company? Similarly, more and more employees work from home these days. What's the company's obligation to preserve the employee's home computer that he or she uses on company business? These issues must be addressed by the courts as the new rules are implemented.
So what preventative measures should businesses take to protect themselves, regardless of whether or not potential litigation involving e-discovery is on the horizon?
Businesses should prepare for a lawsuit long before it begins. They should have a policy dealing with document creation, what documents should be created and kept on the system, and what documents should not be created. It's very helpful to have an effective document retention policy that will help the business control the number and volume of documents that it has on its electronic systems. Only with a good and effective document retention policy can a business systematically rid itself of needless and useless documents while preserving those documents that it's required to keep. In addition, the business should be ready before litigation starts. It should have in place a plan how it's going to carry out its duties to preserve documents once litigation commences or once it's foreseeable.
We've talked about the challenges companies face. What are some of the benefits companies will experience from these new rules?
The front-end loading of the new rules, Matt, provides an opportunity to businesses to strategically plan going forward how they're going to use electronic discovery to their advantage in the lawsuit. If they're a company with lots and lots of electronic data, they're going to want to be able to go forward with a plan that minimizes the cost of producing that data in the context of the litigation. If they're a company with few electronic documents in the case, they're going to want to have a plan to make sure that they can get the other side's electronic documents early in the case and with little expense. They can then use these rules to their best advantage so that in the context of litigation, they're producing the documents that are helpful to them in a cost-effective way that uses the new rules as a tool rather than as a shield.
Once litigation commences, what are some of the key rules companies should follow?
Once the lawsuit starts, or even before, when it's foreseeable, a company has a duty to preserve all relevant evidence. That includes electronic evidence. In the old paper world, that was pretty simple. You went and you made a photocopy of the file, or you put a lock on the file cabinet. In today's world, that's more complex because electronic records are dynamic. A website changes from day to day. A server changes from day to day. So the company needs to make arrangements to preserve relevant electronic evidence in the form that it exists once it knows that the lawsuit is foreseeable or the lawsuit has started.
In closing, what would you say are the most important things a company needs to know about establishing a sound electronic document retention policy?
It's very important for companies to prepare long before they're in a lawsuit. They should have the document creation policy, train on the document creation policy. They should have a document retention policy and enforce it. They should have a plan so that they can react quickly once they are in litigation, and they should have an aggressive plan in litigation to maximize their opportunities with electronic discovery.
Well, you've certainly given our listeners a lot to consider, Dan. Thanks very much for your time. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about the new rules of electronic discovery, we invite you to contact us at 612-335-1500 or visit us online at www.leonard.com. Leonard Street & Dinard is among Minnesota's largest law firms, with offices in Minneapolis, St. Cloud, and Mankato, Minnesota, and in Washington, D.C. From its regional base, Leonard Street & Dinard serves clients throughout the United States and internationally. The firm employs nearly 200 attorneys in more than 40 practice areas, and since its founding in 1922 has helped generations of clients achieve their business objectives through astute legal advice complemented by good common sense. To learn more, visit Leonard Street & Dinard's website at www.leonard.com. This podcast is provided by the law firm of Leonard Street & Dinard as a service to clients and the general public. The information contained in this recording is neither designed nor intended to be relied upon as specific legal advice to any individual or organization. Listeners should always consult with their attorney about specific legal matters.